Being physically active is good for us for many reasons beyond the old familiar ones. In fact, exercise is the single most important thing that most of us can do to improve or maintain our health at any age. And recent research has shown that this is true in many more ways than was originally thought. Well, here with more on this is Dr. Carol Sames, an exercise physiologist and the director of the Vitality Fitness Program at Upstate Medical University. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Linda.
So regular movement not only lowers the risk of developing or dying from heart disease, stroke, diabetes, I read that it often prevents certain cancers, it can improve your mood, it builds your bones, it strengthens your muscles, lung capacity is expanded, and also can reduce the risks of falls and fractures. So, I mean, that and also keeping excess weight in check, what else can it do? But I couldn't believe what I found. Recent research has pointed out that exercise is a way to boost your brain power. Tell us about that, Carol.
Well, certainly. The research has come out that individuals that are more active have better cognition. They looked at individuals in midlife, my age, and found out that even later in life, they had better memory, less incidence of dementia. Also much better blood flow to the brain, and that after you were active doing whatever activity you enjoy, you had better memory, recall of events that had recently occurred.
So, you know, it's interesting that I was looking over in preparation for talking to you that there's been an explosion in research to look at this, all these effects on the brain, and I guess any tasks that require attention, organization, or planning seem to improve with exercise.
Absolutely. And now you have the proof, so to speak, in the pudding. Actually, MRIs have demonstrated those particular areas of the brain are more active after activity.
You know what else I found fascinating? Looking back at our history evolutionarily, anthropologists have suggested that the way the human brain developed over time linked its growth and its complexity to the fact that we needed to run and we needed to be the hunter-gatherers and catch that food in order to survive. So our brains grew as a result of exercise in a way, which makes all the sense in the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you've always heard me say, the bodies were meant to move. I mean, just look at the way we got put together. This body was meant to be active, certainly not sedentary.
I also noticed that they're doing some research on kind of a molecular level, and they're finding specific things that why exercise seems to do this kind of thing.
Yes, all the way down to the cellular level, looking at mitochondria, which is a energy-producing portion of cells and how that is improved with individuals who are active, even looking at certain molecules that occur in the brain and how we can increase to help with memory and cognition after activity. So it really has become very cellular, and with the burgeoning field of neuroscience, it's moving right into the exercise arena.
So it all really has to do with blood flow. I mean, in a way, the more you exercise, the blood goes to the brain, and the blood pressure and blood flow increase everywhere in the body, including the brain, and more blood means more energy, more oxygen, and makes the brain perform better.
Right, and better utilization of glucose, and we certainly know that the brain needs glucose. That's the brain's fuel, and we have better utilization of glucose when we're active also.
So it seems to me, then, the reverse should also be true, that if you don't exercise in any way and you literally become the proverbial couch potato, that your brain must suffer.
Absolutely. In fact, it does. And it's another new line of research that's looked at sedentary activity, kind of the reverse of being active. And the research that's coming out now is pretty decidedly suggesting that inactivity for long periods of time actually reduces the impact that exercise gives us. So even if I'm active, if I'm spending too much time sitting, I'm negating all of that work.
Wow, so that means even if you've been someone who exercises, if you then sit for long, long periods of time, you may actually undo the good effects?
Absolutely. A recent study that came out that looked at women that were postmenopausal and found that those women that sat more than 10 hours a day negated the effects of being active.
Wow.
That's very powerful.
So what do you recommend then in terms of exercise?
To get people up and moving. You know, to not think of exercise as those traditional activities, to think outside the box, be active at home. You know, if you're an individual who's not able to do more strenuous activity, housework, garden work, moving, swimming, all of those, dancing, just to get up and move, to not sit.
So what about for in terms of longevity? I read somewhere also that it has an impact on longevity.
Even being active 11 minutes a day has been demonstrated to increase longevity by 1.2 years. And this is what was in individuals over the age of 40. And this was looked at in a group of individuals, approximately 600,000 people.
Wow.
And then accordingly, individuals that were active 60 to 90 minutes a day had an increased life expectancy of 4.2 years.
So it makes you live longer, but hopefully also makes you live better.
Right.
Tell us about that, because I understand that people as they age obviously do lose some brain function naturally. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, frank Alzheimer's or dementia. Does exercise help prevent that?
It actually has been demonstrated to, even in individuals that are over the age of 70, regular activity increases memory and cognition.
Wow, so it has an impact. Really, it sounds to me that exercise benefits anyone at any age.
You really want to say to people, why are you not active? You know, we know that only about 25% of the population is following the guidelines. And the guidelines essentially are 30 minutes a day of activity, 5 days a week, and then also 2 days a week of strength training.
So let's get more specific then. When you say activity,
mm-hmm.
because I know so many people are exercise averse. I mean, they say, oh, exercise, it's like, you know, it's work.
Right.
You mentioned, I mean, what are the kinds of things people can do on a regular basis to give them that 30 minutes that isn't, you know, so awful that they won't do it?
Right. Walking while I'm shopping, right? Activity around the house, cleaning, walking up and down the stairs if I'm able to. Yard work. This is the fall. Wonderful time for yard work. Just moving. Just being active. And I think that's really important to impress upon people, because I think people have selected not to engage in exercise because it's just negatively associated with pain and suffering
and work.
And we want people to move. Mm-hmm. So how do I get my body to move?
Does it have to be continuous? This is always something that comes up all the time. If you want to do 30 minutes a day, does it have to be 30 minutes from start to finish? Or is it sufficient? And again, I think there's been some controversy on this, to do, let's say, 10 minutes and then you do something else and then come back, you know, you're sit, and then you come back and do 10 more minutes.
Right. When we're looking at health benefits, we can divide that any way we'd like. When we're looking at performance, then yes, we would actually want them to be longer blocks, but most people are looking at the health benefits. So if I can get 5 or 10 minutes in the morning, because that's all the time I have, and I get that in later in the day, another 5 or 10 minutes, and I think that's really important for people to know because it fits into your lifestyle.
So for the sake of review, I mean, people will always say, we're saying over and over again that exercise makes you healthier. And at the beginning of this chat, I alluded to the fact that it can do it in many, many ways, not just improve your brain function. I mean, for example, in your experience, how do you see it affecting people's, you know, emotional status? Do you think it can reduce things like depression and anxiety?
Oh, well, we actually have the research that demonstrates that, and also improving quality of life, which I think is so big, because all of us want to live our life in a certain way. And when we're inactive, we start to lose the ability to be able to perform activities that maybe we were already doing previously. And so that is huge. And to be able to be empowered to say, I can do this, I feel better.
How about the claim that it can actually improve your immune system?
Well,
and even fight off things like cancer?
Certain cancers have been demonstrated to be reduced in individuals who are active.
So do you see, though, is there research that supports the idea that it can also enhance the immune system to fight off
Very
any
much
kind of
so.
Diseases?
Absolutely. Because we also know that individuals that do too much exercise actually hinder their immune system. They go above and beyond.
So that's extreme.
That's extreme, right.
But if you stay within a normal parameter,
absolutely,
it enhances it. Mm-hmm. How about things like you mentioned before, and clearly the thing that most people talk about with exercise is the idea of heart attacks and preventing things like atherosclerosis from developing, that's a hard one to say, or hardening of the arteries for the layperson. Is there research to support that as well?
That research is so strong and so firmly established. And what activity does is it reduces the risk factors, because reduction in blood pressure, better glycemic or glucose control, helping with increasing the good cholesterol in the blood. So exercise is really a big whammy when you talk about reducing the risk for cardiovascular disease.
So, and that includes things like heart disease, stroke. How about diabetes?
Oh, huge. In fact, one of the cornerstones of diabetes control is activity.
Wow. And I also read somewhere that research shows that exercise can lead the amount of visceral body fat, which also affects people developing type 2 diabetes.
Correct. The body fat that we have around our stomach.
So we know that it also promotes weight loss, which seems like the most obvious thing. I mean, that's often why I think people get involved in exercise. They want to somehow try to control their weight.
Right.
When they can't do it other ways.
Well, nutrition and activity, again, have been demonstrated to be the most successful options for losing weight and keeping it off.
And how about things like osteoporosis? You know, that's the thing I think more and more women, as we live longer, I say women because I personally have that problem, but as we live longer and we may perhaps not have had as much calcium in our diet, or maybe some is a hereditary component to it, we seem to have the propensity towards things like osteopenia or osteoporosis, which is a thinning of our bones, mm-hmm. leading to things like breakage and all of that kind of thing. Do you see that exercise really? I mean, they say that if you stress the bones, it can really make a difference.
And it does. It really does. Very important strength training and, you know, the continuous repetitive activity as reducing the risk for the development of osteopenia, osteoporosis. But if I already have osteopenia, to help not allow that osteopenia to get worse.
So something that stresses the bones,
correct.
Weight-bearing exercises. Mm-hmm. So in the little bit of time we have left, help us understand when you say strength training 2 times a week. What can people do at home if they don't go to a gym?
Oh, you can do things in a chair. You can do things up against the wall, pushing myself out of my chair, pushing up against the wall. I can do steps.
Can you use things like cans?
Ah, cans. TheraBands or TheraTubes you might have gotten in physical therapy. You can use your own body weight. There's all kinds of things that you can do that does not require equipment.
Well, it sounds to me like exercise is good for all people at all ages, and I want to thank you so much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Carol Sames. She's an exercise physiologist and the director of the Vitality Fitness Program at Upstate Medical University.